today is such, an environment and conditions that surround us, that we are passing by such a time with different circumstances facing us, around us, surrounding us. Lots of people are, you can say, busy or occupied with issues, worries, obstacles in the world. And one of the big or main reasons for this, and that the Qur'an has explained to us, is that when the insan, the human being, goes far from his islah, when he ceases to worry about his islah, his improvement, rectification, then you could say defects will arise in that person's life. And such illnesses of the akhlaq, in terms of illnesses related to conduct, manners and approach, will increase. And the individual will not recognize that he has got those problems. And Allah will be displeased with that person, that ajeeb and, you could say, weird different types of problems and issues will befall that person. And that person's mind won't even go towards the topic that he's got an issue, that what are the real reasons for my downfall or issues that I'm facing. And for getting to the solution to the problems, people say, oh, maybe it's due to this I've got these issues, or maybe it's due to this I've got these issues. They won't go towards the right solution, the actual root cause of the disease or the problem they've got. A person will not go towards that. Now, tazkiyah, islah, rectification, purification is the same. It is lazim. It is important for a person to do his or her tazkiyah. Without tazkiyah, it's difficult for a person to pass the test. And Allah Ta'ala says that whilst we live in the world, in this world and the akhirah, what will assist us, that the best way to earn and to progress and to improve is based on islah, on tazkiyah. For a person to analyze himself, قَدَ فْلْحَمَا زَكَّهَا وَقَدَ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. Straightforward, Allah Ta'ala said, two clear points. That if you worry about your islah, about your improvement, and you control yourself, then if you utilize those methods I've given to you, the means, the actions, the methods that give a person islah and tazkiyah, purification and improvement, then Allah says, due to this purification in this world, you'll be successful, in the hereafter you'll be successful. Straightforward path. Yeah, there's no doubt or any creases in the pages with regards to this topic. Very clear. Look, if our children are bad or not good, my wife maybe is against me, or I'm not good, or there's facade at home, or fighting, quarreling, disputes, fights, all lifelong, a person's occupied and busy in these things. At the shop I was working, the boss said this, and that person, those my colleagues, I had a fight with them. Facade, example, in this day and age. Somebody's happy with somebody, somebody's displeased with somebody, you're backbiting against someone, you're looking after somebody else, and blood relations, they are against each other, they're at each other's throats. Allah says, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. Allah says that we have left the path, we don't worry about our islah, our reformation, purification of our heart and soul, how dirty we are, how nafs is trapping us or guiding us. How do we solve the problem? Homes, families, countries, towns, villages, everyone's immersed in the problem. Allah says, that's why I used to give the adab, punishment, to the previous nations and peoples, because they stopped doing islah of their own self. Allah said, I sent anbiya to do tazkiyah, and I sent Imamul Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give him a straightforward syllabus that my Nabi is coming, that he will have certain duties, he will give you guidance, I'll give my sharia, a kitab, he will give it to you, teach you it, and explain to you the methods of life, how to live, and he will do your tazkiyah, he will do your islah, he will improve you, he will purify you. When this is in the kitab, the education's there, the teaching's there. We say, why do we need tazkiyah? We say, we'll read it ourselves. This is today's day and age and my ideology. I can read in the Quran myself. I can study myself. I am elevated myself. I don't need a teacher, a guide. And for example, we don't need people. People are saying salam to me. 500-600 people are running after me. I've got people after me that who acclaim me. Why do I need to have a teacher? A person doesn't recognize his own defects and maladies, but he's immersed in adab, punishment. immersed. He's fallen to adab. If today we do an analysis survey, then we are immersed in the adab of Allah. Because we accept sins. Oh, it's okay, I can't do anything about it, etc. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the adab, that this is the punishment for this sin, this is the punishment for this sin, this is the punishment for this sin, A, B, C, D, etc. So there is a way out. There is a way out, but only one way. Insan, human being, must have worry and concern and do his islah. In other words, reform and improve, self-improvement, tazkiyah, purification of the heart and the soul. And a person cannot do his own islah. A person can't reform and improve himself. Yes, like for example, even if a doctor is ill, he has to go to another doctor, isn't it? Yeah, that why are you not taking the cure? Will he not? The doctor won't give himself the cure, will he? So if we do not go to an expert with their niyyah intention that I am coming to you, I want to have a spiritual connection with you, and a connection so I can improve and do my islah, I can identify my downfalls, analyze myself, do a critique and improve. It's not for hours and hours and then we just stop. No, this journey is until maut, death. My hazrat, my shaykh said, the reason for this, why is this path until maut, till death, that for example, has it shown in any verses of the Quran that nafs and shaitan are just, has it been shown in the Quran or in Allah's guidance that nafs and shaitan are just with you for 10 hours and then they'll leave you, or for 40 years they're with you, then they leave you after 40 years, or go somewhere, some place? Or has Allah Ta'ala said in hadith somewhere that shaitan and nafs are part time, your enemies, if you feed them then they'll leave you? No. Hadith and Quran are clear, they are with you from birth until you pass away. Shaitan will not leave your side, to this extent that when you are about to die, your last breath is being drawn and shaitan will be seated next to you trying to rob you of your iman. The pious predecessor has always said this dua to the murids, the student. Hazrat also gave this dua to me, that until the last second of your life, the last breath, that save me from nafs and shaitan, save me from nafs and shaitan. We don't see this, do we? Don't we see? But shaitan is present. We can't see shaitan. We can't feel shaitan, but he's with us. So if he's not going to leave us, and if nafs and shaitan are not going to leave us, then how can we leave the tariqah to get rid of nafs and shaitan? How can we justify that? This is such a great path. Islah, improvement, self-improvement, tazkiyah, purification. Imagine how essential, compulsory is tazkiyah. Moment of life, we are in danger. We're walking around bigoted. No, I go on hajj, I do umrah, I do tawaf, and I stand in front of the rawda, mubarak, and I do duas, and I do this and that. Nothing will benefit us. Nothing. All these ibadat, they are contaminated with thousands of sins because we are not following the path which is in conformity with Allah Ta'ala's principles and laws. If we read the Quran, Allah has given us a tariqah, a method, that these ibadat I'm giving to you, worship actions, how can you protect them? When you protect yourself, then your ibadat will be automatically corrected. If I don't do islah, I lie, I pray islah, I do hajj, I steal, and I fight with people, I quarrel people, I argue, I hit somebody, I take someone's haq and rights, we have nothing. We have nothing. Tell me. We have nothing to justify ourselves. So today, we can say that previous generation, there were khanqas and people would go to improve themselves and purify their hearts, their souls, and become a better human being. And today, for peers like us around us, even if there is somebody who is at least, you know, to an extent, a peer or a sheikh, somebody will go to him, he won't say, I want to learn dhikr, or give me bayah sheikh, or do my islah. Thousands of phones would come, for example, Pakistan, give me bayah. Okay, fine, you'll become bayah. But the objective of doing bayah with the sheikh is islah, reformation, improvement. And you're sitting here, and your peer sahab is in Baruch, then what islah will occur? No improvement. But because he's got a big name, he's a big sheikh, I've got a link with him, I tell others, oh, you know, I've got a link with that person, you know, I don't need to have a link with the person here, I've got a link with a big shot, with a big personality. So this is the low emphasis we have this. And this actually increases, you can say, shakhs parasti, which is, you could say, a way of saying that, you know, people are just attaching themselves. So, you know, they're in awe of their teacher. But how about going to the teacher, meeting him, telling him your situation, your life circumstances? And even if there's not even that, then isla and tasawwuf, which is the subject of purification and reformation, even if you see your sheikh, that is isla. Subhanallah, I swear by Allah, this is the truth. Even if you just see your shaykh and you've got the right intention of improvement, just by seeing the shaykh that the sins are removed, because you have gone with this niyyah that you want to improve your life. But for example, if you have teachers thousands of miles away, okay, fine, then there's no doubt, then make a schedule, then go travel, strive, buy a ticket, go and sit with the teacher 40 days. That has a Hakim ul-Ummat rahmatullahi stated that at least in your life, I'm telling you his phrase, that at least if you cannot be a murid, a student, that if you do not stay for 40 days with your sheikh in the khanqah, how can you do your islah if you don't spend that time with the sheikh? Because islah, you have to fight shaitan and nafs, you need to control. You can't just succeed by doing dhikr, can you? Yes? So just by doing dhikr and other actions, how can you do your islah? How can you improve as a human being? How can you be improved and reformed? Look, we are animals and we need to become human beings before getting to the akhirah. Whereas the Quran says you are worse than the animals. So today we look like we are human beings. But in reality, our images, our appearances, our faces due to our sins, I swear by Allah that our actual appearance is worse than the animals. How can a person swear at someone else and do bad actions and he's leaving home, even if he's got nice clothes on, looks good, but can he be insan? And he goes to society, people have murdered others, they're hiding in society, they're walking around big-headed, and they think they're criminals and they're respected, but behind them are sins. Is that person physically a human being? No, he's changed. That's not his form. That's not his appearance. Yes, Allah Ta'ala has put the veil in front of our sins so that we are not disgraced, but inside we are wild animals. Every sin has a form and in an image and an appearance. Getting angry, yes, there's no akhlaq, there's no islah. We get angry when we want, we just grab hold of somebody's throat and we say bad to somebody, and we don't know about elders or relatives or father or mother-in-law or father-in-law, or the husband doesn't know about the wife or the wife doesn't know about the husband. That we have no recognition, we have no awareness. Yes. We have no appreciation. You are educated, you've got degrees. What's the point of having a degree? That you're earning money. You've just studied degrees to earn money. All these kitabs and books we got at home, somebody, will chemistry teach you akhlaq? Good manners and conduct? What does it teach us? Earn money. Earn money. And make false medicines and inject people so that they keep on getting the flu. We go for the flu jab, but flu doesn't disappear, does it? They give the jab maybe so that the flu comes again, so that we come again, so that we have to get the medicine again. And some people, they don't take the flu jab. They say, no, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to take a risk. And this has been sprayed across the society so that the disease is spread, so that the medicines have to be bought and purchased. This is the human being of today. Reason being what? Allah said that this is due to your sins, punishments. You have forgotten my principles and laws. قَدَ فْلَحَ مَا زَكَّهَ وَقَدْ خَابَ مَا دَسَّهَ. We don't even think about doing our Islam improvement. Allah Ta'ala says that you have made going to the Wali of Allah some sort of custom, tradition, workmanlike action. We'll sit down, we understand a little bit of dhikr. And for example, even if you have soap and hot water in the bucket and you can sit down in the bath for 8 hours, you don't put the water on your body and you don't use the soap and you come out, will you be clean? No. So 10 hours you were in the washroom, mashallah, and there was good shampoo, soap and water, but you didn't put it on your body, you didn't apply it, you didn't throw the water off your body. So how can you be cleaned? Washed, purified. Isn't this the case? Yes. So the khanqa, in reality, is the fountain of Allah's mercy. Subhanallah. I'm telling you, as the Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi stated, and you will read this regularly, maybe daily. He stated that tomorrow you will realize that today those who joke against, jest against the khankas, they laugh, mock the people of the khankas, tomorrow when the veils are removed after death, they will realize that what did the people of the khankas take? What did they attain? Subhanallah. So this is Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Ramdhai's statement, because he was a true human being, a man of his generation. He would sit in the khankah and he, Raipur, the khankah, he spent his life there, strived there, made effort there. Tell me, and here when I came, because due to a darvesh, a wali of Allah, his instruction, I came here, a ghaus, a qutub of that time, my sheikh, my teacher, Qutb and Ghaus of his time, they control the generation. They're not the generation makes the people, they mold the world. No, it's due to them that, oh, people say, don't go there. What will happen there? No. It's due to the Ghaus and Qutb that the deen spreads. The Qutb and Ghaus, they are great personalities, the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah. This is an ajeeb and great force of Allah's that's working in the background in the world. We can see the walis of Allah don't have horns. Due to the work of the deen, you see what great work of the deen hidden. That nobody knew about deen, at the tasawwuf, nobody knew from alif to ya, and a foreign land and dangers here, a darvish, wali of Allah, sitting on a straw mat in a small village, says to his murid, go and open a khanka. Allahu Akbar, not one, not two, not three, four, not that, mashallah, the roots are there of the khankas here and they are continuing. So can anyone stop the dhikr of Allah? Yes, you can put me in jail. Put me inside, yes. But has it stopped? No, more has come. Yes, there are police people there. Those same people are here who came to grab and to take away. How can it happen? Those same people are sitting there who came to take away. Why? Because this is not a shop or a business. This is a ghaus, a kutub of his time. Allah gave him hukam, order, that this will happen in the generation. You have to do this work of the deen now. And it's due to their tawajjuh and focus. This happened, and alhamdulillah, this person was not capable, was selected. Alhamdulillah, this work of the deen has happened in front of your eyes. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not a person who implements drama. I'm not a peer. I don't say things, hollow statements. You know me, I'm just simple, normal. I pray salah in the masjid. Wherever I get a corner, I sit down. And nobody, nor do I know anyone, nor does anyone know me, nor do I want to get to know people for nothing. Alhamdulillah, isn't the work of the deen progressing? Isn't it? Why? Because it's the hukum of Allah, the order, that the islah of the world, the human beings, the public will occur in the khanqas and nowhere else. Akhlaq, you cannot improve your akhlaq. You cannot learn akhlaq, conduct manners in the madrasas. You can read Quran all lifelong, 15 juz, more juz. You cannot improve your akhlaq. Because this is the law of Allah, the principles of Allah. That when you go to a wali of Allah, you learn how to read the Quran, you'll understand the Quran, and you'll practice the Quran. Alhamdulillah. So, this work and effect has ceased from people's lives. It's disappeared, you can say. I say that if you go to Indian subcontinent, Pakistan, all other Islamic countries, then we're grateful to Allah that in this country that we do a lot of dhikr, more than other so-called Muslim countries. You cannot dare to sit in those countries and do dhikr like we are. Can we? Yeah? That even if you bow down and do maraqbah, they grab you from your next 5 men will come and say, "Hey, ish, hada, what are you doing? Hada shirk. Hada shirk. Why are you doing shirk? What else are you doing?" They start criticizing. To this extent, because where is their akhlaq? Look at their manners. Look at their regard. Everyone, for example, has a pistol. Against who? Against your own people. Subhanallah, rifles, pistols, and weapons. Because the believer, the Musliman, is going against other Muslims. And ajeeb titles are given to the Muslimin, that they're extreme, etc. And it should be this for those people who know the Quran. They have the Quran. They have masjids. They have places of worship. But they've left the deen. So will Allah Ta'ala not give punishment? Of course, they've got one punishment. Allah Ta'ala said that, leave them. And Allah Ta'ala says that, look, I've given you everything, your parents, grandparents, everyone was believers. Your history tells you, your kitabs. The Hazrat Shaykh, rahmatullah, when he passed away, how many years have passed? And there are many people present who will have done ziyarah of Hazrat Shaykh, isn't it? Many. So what did he do? What did he teach? What did he state when he departed from the world? On his blessed tongue, he said, Khan ka dhikr, Khan ka dhikr, Khan ka dhikr. In his final days, the people with him, they heard that only two words would come from his speech. Isn't it? Isn't this the case? So, it shows here that without this, we cannot do islah. Without this, there can be no islah. So, Hazrat, Rahmatul Alayh, sat them. Why did he give hukum to one human being? What was then Gadai Sharif that he saw that go to England, he said to his student. That people send the students for studying, go to do this, go to this university, etc. And this darvesh sat on the straw mat, go and open a khanqa, a place of purification. Hey, you will make money, chemistry, physics, this is for money. No, you cannot teach for money. Make Jannah for the people in the hereafter so that they can improve their lives in this world and get to the right destination in the hereafter. Subhanallah. So we need to improve our mindsets. Why have we come here? Say it loudly. Why have we come here? For islah, reformation, improvement. The person is not doing his islah. A hadith has come to my mind. Subhanallah. Look at this. Now we're talking about Islah. This is an ajeeb hadith I'm presenting to you. This is a very lengthy subject. There's so much we can speak on this topic, but maybe again in the future. If not here, we'll speak in another masjid. Definitely we'll speak about it. Otherwise, what else am I going to speak about? So as a washa, rahmatullah alayhi, is a hadith in Tirmidhi. The ulama here, muftis are here, respected scholars are here. And a person who's not capable like me, I have no need to speak. The pious elders are here around me. He stated that Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, look here, let's look at our society, look at this hadith, and then we need to think, why is there adab on us? Why in our homes? Why are there issues? Why is there no barakah? Why is there arguments and fighting, quarreling? Look at the hadith. It is stated, Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm just giving the meaning of the hadith, that if a Muslim brother, if to his fellow Muslim brother, whether it's worldly or religious, you can say, deen related or dunya related, and if he looks at his condition or circumstances, or if on any of his conditions, Islamic or worldly, and he sees difficulty in that person's life and he expresses happiness, or he rejoices, Allahu Akbar, look at this hadith. What a big and easy message for us today, and so simple for our ma'ashura to improve. That if a believer looks at his fellow believer and sees that worldly or religiously, he sees that there are issues and people become happy on somebody else's issues. Oh, I'm sad to hear your shop. You've lost your shop. Oh, so good for you. Good riddance. Oh, I heard you had an accident. Oh, was it a new car? See, that's it. See, where'd you get the money from anyway in the first place? They mutter under their breath. Inside the depth of the heart, there's so much bughaz, so much malice, that so seldom do we have sadness on people's troubles, because we have no islah, we have no tazkiyah. So how can it come into us? We have no sorrow. I guarantee and tell you this, that even a so-called big personality, he is immersed in this disease. I guarantee this to you. Why? And I say for this reason, the Quran and the Hadith, the rites of the Quran and the Hadith teach us this, that we are not doing the action that can remove malice and hatred and envy of people. When I don't put the light on, when I don't affix the bulb, then how can I say that there will not be darkness here? How can I say that? Can I say it? Of course I can't. I'll say, oh, Hazrat, there's no light in that room. Oh, there's no preparation for light in this room. And there's a lot of light in the room. I've never heard anyone say this till today. So how can I say that there's no Islah, there's no Tazkiyah, there's no Khankas around us, the people that don't have no feeling to sit with the Wali of Allah, and to go morning and evening to the Shaykh, to do fikr, of worry about your sins and your condition, and to present your issues and problems. This subject is for the Akhirah, for the success of the Akhirah. But we don't think that this is success. Oh, pray Nafil Salah, pray Tahajjud Salah, we think that this is success. But we don't think that this is success. What has Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us here? That if a Muslim or a person, a believer, looks at another person's issues, problems, somebody's got this sadness, this distress, these problems, what happened? And even if he hasn't got any problems, we'll look for problems in that person's life. We'll seek them. We'll find out. We'll ask. We've got mobiles. We'll look at what happened to that person's daughter. What's happening in his home, his family? What's happened to his daughter-in-law? Where's the mother-in-law gone? How much fighting, quarreling in the house? What's happening about his shop, his business? Rather, in the whole dunya, what's happened in Pakistan? His father, where's he gone? And his daughter's run away, and this has happened, and that's happened. Is this not the topic on the tip of our tongue? Social media discussions. And just like we have gatherings to discuss people's issues, you know, we call it social activities in the night. Gossip mongering and rumor mongering, gossiping, malice. Because we don't have tazkiyah in our qawm, nation. We don't have the environment, the khanqah. We don't have the emphasis or awareness of understanding of going to the walis of Allah, the buzurgs. Then where will akhlaq come from in our lives? Will akhlaq come into our lives? No. In our hearts, we're happy with other people's problems. Oh, it's good he passed away. Oh, it's good this happened. Oh, it's good that happened. Even if someone dies, we don't feel sad. And one phrase is so common today. So common. Oh, he's passed away. Oh, okay. Yeah? That's it. That's it. Oh, I never saw him come into the masjid, the poor soul. He never came. So what we're doing, we're expressing our sorrow, but we're trying to please our hearts and our nafs. We're burying that person. Once we're burying that person, oh, okay. I told him once to go on Jamaat, and he never went, and he's died, and you know, what's he at? Is this what Islam teaches us? Does Islam teach us? Is this not our environment? For this reason that we've left Islam, we've left the walis of Allah, we've left picking up the shoes of the awliya Allah, we've left going to the awliya Allah, serving them. Allah Ta'ala Himself has selected His walis, His friends. Allah Himself. So, why do we paint? Should the wali of Allah not run his shop or earn money? Should he not earn wealth? Just like you earn wealth in the dunya. He wants to have land and have businesses and wealth, doesn't he? Mal, wealth is such a thing. That does he look at age? If you say Haji Sahib today, there's a free of charge mansion in Pakistan, 80 years old. He'll go, please let me buy a ticket. I need to go and have a look as well. It will be useful for my son, won't it? Isn't it? Yeah, am I right or am I wrong? You're sitting in it. If someone says in Baruch, you get some wealth, money, Haji Sahib, you get four mansions near your home, whoever comes, take it now. You say, oh, let me go quickly. I'll see afterwards about my health and that. But if mum's ill, we won't go. If we know father's ill, we won't go. But if we get in a free of charge house, we'll go. We'll run because we don't have akhlaq. Father, oh, mother, I came to see you, but we had done enough time. And father, I came to see you, but actually he went for the asset, the property, because we've left islah. Allah says that you will be finished. Dassaha, that you will be soil, the dirt, you'll be like animals, you'll be enemies of each other. Why? Because you have broken the laws of my Quran, Allah Ta'ala says. Do we understand now how important it is? The Khankas, how they are really essential to us. Going to the Wali Wala is really essential to us, isn't it? Tell me. So is this a drama? That we go for what reason? To the Wali of Allah to get bayah? Oh, when will I become a Wali of Allah? They come and say to me, that when will I get khilafah? When will I become a deputy? 7 days don't even pass. I'm doing dhikr, Hazrat Sahib. Tell me a wazifa. I can't even see the dream of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm not getting ziyarah. Look at this here. I've been doing dhikr so long, I'm reciting the Durood Sharif, and I come to the majlis and I sit with you, and I'm in the gathering. That person's so proud inside. And look, another point here. Today, one of the biggest defects in practicing tasawwuf, I'm telling you unique points today, that sin, I'm just telling you this hadith as well. Remember this hadith. This hadith is very useful that's come in front of me. That sin we have immersed ourselves with inside, that we've left the line of tazkiyah, and that sin, either that sin was with shaitan and now it's come to us. What sin is that? Kibr, pride. Takabbur, haughtiness. Every person is mutakabbir, wallahi. Why? Because there's only one cure for kibr, to go to the waliyullah and to serve the mashayikh, to the sheikh, the teacher, pick up their shoes. If a person goes to the wali of Allah, then automatically inside him, his nafs, his desires, takabbur, it starts to break and shatter, because he goes as a ghulam. If a person doesn't become a ghulam, he cannot attain anything, whoever it is. King, he has sultanates, lands. When they go to the wali of Allah, then they became ghulams, the servants, the workers, the murids, and then they went to the teacher. This is the asool. When you become the ghulam of the sheikh, then Allah says, you will become the king. You will become the king. Allah says, then I will make you a king. Subhanallah. So look at the stark contrast here, Allah Ta'ala. So we go there, we go with kibr. Yes, I am this, I am that. This is the seat I should have. And this is the recognition of, I've seen this in the khanqas. Then, for example, when a person would come to the khanqa, to the sheikh, he'd have no seat, no pedestal, no platform. Rather, go onto the dust. Go sit near the shoes. Because adab, the sheikh has a lot of adab for the student. Even if he has a high status in the world, but he has to do his tazkiyah, reform him. When he gets a maqam, then themselves, the sheikh, they will take the shoes of the student and put them on their head. That we used to appreciate you. Don't think that we were against you. But to take your kibar, we had to give you a firm line. And now Allah has given you maqam. And that same wali Allah says that, now let me straighten your shoes for you as well. Yes, they will put their hands on the shoes, pick them up, straighten. The sheikh will do this. There's no kibar in the sheikh. No pride. So that qawm that has gone far from tazkiyah, I swear by Allah, that to the children of the families, they've got takabbur and pride. Every woman will have takabbur. They will have anger, and there will be anger on the tip of their nose. There will be no law, no akhlaq. The woman will desire and demand divorce. The man will demand divorce, because kibr is what runs. Nobody knows how to submit. how to compromise. If you want to learn how to compromise, give and take, then pick up the shoes of the wali of Allah. Not that we've got takabbur, he's my sheikh and I've come to get zikr from you and I just want to link with you. I'm from this place, I am attached to this company and that, I just need zikr. I've heard that you're a sheikh. Is this how you attain connection with the sheikh? First become the ghulam, the servant. Lower yourself, humble yourself. Humility, you have to humble your nafs. Lower your gaze. This is that court. Lower the gaze in front of the sheikh. Lower your neck. Lower your head. Lower yourself. The sharia, it gives this advice. It doesn't say do sujood. Don't prostrate. Don't kiss the feet, etc. But lower yourself spiritually, that you are fana in the example of your sheikh. And then can it be that the sicknesses will not be removed from our lives? Listen to the hadith. What happens then with the insan? That when a human being, when he laughs at someone else, Allah says that, what does Allah Ta'ala say? Subhanallah, that remember the law of Allah. That if you are laughing at somebody, then Allah is Allah. Allah says, remember my law. There's no greater praise than this. Allah is Qadir. Allah is Allah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And you cannot praise Allah more than this. Allah is Allah. Allah says, if you enjoy other people's issues and downfalls, if you're laughing on that person and you have no reason to do this, Allah says, remember, I am Allah. Then I will deliver my rahmah to that person who's suffering and I will replace him with you. So why do you jest against that person's daughter or his son? His son will improve, inshallah, but your son will become a criminal. His daughter hasn't run away, but your daughter or daughters will run away. That used to spy on those people. This many daughters run away. This is what happened. Look, Allah says, that person's one daughter or son run away. I'll bring them back, or him or back. But I will make your sons or daughters, they will fight or quarrel. You used to laugh on that person's shop that was lost. I will elevate that person's business. And your rizq will be lost. It will be lost. This is the law of Allah. This is the hadith in Tirmidhi of Mulana Sahib. Isn't this not the case? What I've remembered now, I've told you. So now when this is Allah's law, then tell me this is Allah's principle, then it's a clear message Allah's giving. That if you want to get out of this sickness, then do your tazkiyah, islah, rectification, so that you clean your heart, purify your soul, so you don't say anything negative against anyone. Today this came into my heart, this is my pain, my friends, don't take what I'm saying badly. These are islahi, reformative discussions. I am a sinner, you are good, pious people, let's do dua for each other. And remember, my message of today is this, that most important deen, pillar of the deen of Islam, of the akhirah, the subject, mazmoon, the subject is islah nafs, reformation and tazkiyah, purification of the nafs. It's essential to go to the wali Allah, the sheikh, to do islah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the opportunity before we die, that we get the tawfiq, that we can go to a wali Allah, a friend of Allah, whoever goes for islah, then he doesn't become stubborn or ignorant. Whatever the sheikh says, he will obey and implement, because he wants to do islah. If you are seeking employment, why are you seeking employment? So that you can get paid. You work, you get paid. So whatever job he tells you to do, you'll carry out those tasks, because you're getting paid for it, won't you? You won't be stubborn. You are my employee, please take this chair. Remember the sheikh, you're going to get paid for it. Do this then today. Go to that place and give the file. I'll give the file, no problem. Okay, do this, my friend. Not in this car. Go in this car and do this job. This time. Okay, I'll do it right now. Right away, straight away, sir. Isn't it? So if you are going for islah to the sheikh, you want to do your islah reformation, whatever the sheikh says, instructs you have to do. Why? Because you want to improve yourself. Not this, that I can't do that. I'm not listening to you. I'm not going to do that. It's too hard for me. How can this be? Not at all. Not to oppose the persons. MashaAllah, sold himself. Sold himself. This is a big topic. We're doing our islah. And whatever the sheikh advises and guides, he's doing our islah. And we have to conform. Because end of the day, alhamdulillah, when we keep on obeying, keep on obeying, keep on obeying, end of the day, ultimately what will happen, that when you're dying, when we die, then in the heavens, you'll be praised. You'll be praised. That radiyatam maradiyya. Come, my beloved, come, ya ayyatu an-nafsul mutma'inna. You are pure. Come to me quickly. Allah says, fadkhulil jannati, Allah Ta'ala says, come, enter, not just into Jannah, but how will you enter? That my beloved people, you will go with them into paradise, subhanallah. So you will go with a group of good people because you crushed your desires in the company of the faqih, the wali Allah. Will we do this, brothers? Inshallah. Will you make friendship with the wali Allah? Will you take somebody's hand? Then put your hands up if you do this. You still afraid? Still cautious? Doubting? Ah, very good, very good. Okay, even if this will come in new to us, we've made niyyah at least somewhere, isn't it? At least we've made intentions. Well, I said you've made intention, that's good enough. Okay, what should we do now? Should we start dhikr? Okay, let's start dhikr. Recite Durood Sharif.
اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 يا قاضي الحاجات يا قاضي الحاجات يا قاضي الحاجات يا غافي المهمات يا غافي المهمات يا غافي المهمات يا دافي البليات يا دافي البليات يا دافي البليات يا حل المشكلات يا حل المشكلات يا حل المشكلات يا منزل البركات يا منزل البركات يا منزل البركات يا رفيع الدرجات يا رفيع الدرجات يا رفيع الدرجات يا خير الرازقين يا خير الرازقين يا خير الرازقين يا خير الناصرين يا خير الناصرين يا الله مالي مدد فرما يا خير الناصرين يا خير الناصرين يا خير الناصرين يا شافي الأمراض يا شافي الأمراض يا شافي الأمراض يا مجيب الدعوات يا مجيب الدعوات يا مجيب الدعوات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم آمين اللهم آمين اللهم آمين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الله يهو منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين